I'd like to invite Dr. Brendan Visser, a hepatobiliary surgeon from Stanford, up to talk to us about when you have what I find to be a remarkably common situation, resectable liver metastases and a locally advanced rectal cancer, and how do you sequence all of these treatment possibilities? Thanks, Brendan.
Thanks very much. I'm very pleased to be here with this group talking about these complex patients. I have no financial disclosures. So in terms of strategy as a liver surgeon, right, there are three basic strategies. The traditional stage, which would be rectum first here, simultaneous, and the reverse, or the liver first. And I'm glad that this is okay. After Matt's talk, I was a little bit afraid he was blowing this out of the water, but I philosophically believe that this is a systemic disease and give chemotherapy up front, as most of us do, though there are some exceptions. So, like many of these dilemmas, we are weighing different kinds of factors against each other when we assess each of these strategies, right? So one or two operations, there's some technical complexity in rectal surgery and liver surgery, both complications we fear, and particularly the rectal surgery complications. Obviously, rectal surgery is associated with a higher rate of complications. Complications associated with rectal surgery can delay liver surgery more so than the reverse. So as a liver surgeon, selfishly, I worry about that. Overall or combined hospital stay, if it's two operations and the cost to that, and then the complexity of mixing in chemotherapy and radiation into this. So the staged, traditional staged is the rectum first. And so obviously there are some patients who have symptoms that dictate that happen. There has been, as we heard today, the fear of complications in the rectal primary during therapy, though that's obviously less of a problem than was once thought. Truthfully, there's this thought that the rectum is the source, and patients sometimes are very nervous about leaving the primary in place. A lot of this is still driven by referral patterns, I would argue, that, you know, gastroenterologists refer to a general surgery, a colorectal surgeon, and in some settings, he or she feels comfortable doing the operation on the primary, but might end up referring on the metastatic disease, and that can affect how the patients are treated, for better or for worse. And there is sometimes uncertainty about the resectability of the liver lesions and or extrahepatic disease. And so given the fact that there are other treatments for the liver disease, sometimes people will opt to take out the rectum first. I would say that we increasingly are realizing that there are fewer patients who are probably best treated by this strategy, the rectum first. Chemo and chemo radiation usually relieves the symptoms of those primaries. It occasionally is still indicated, particularly in, I find it that very low symptomatic tumors can be a little bit of a challenge to do at times, or to wait on, but not commonly. So simultaneous, jumping right to this second strategy. Simultaneous has obviously some pros. It's one general anesthetic, one hospital stay. You have one big operation, but that means decreased wound-related complications, partially because you just don't have two separate operations. But for rectal surgery particularly, there can be problems with exposure, prolonged operating room times. If you look at the published series of rectal operations with liver operations, we're looking at 7 hours of surgery often. That can be a long operation. It can be associated with significant blood loss between both pelvic and liver surgery. And there has always been concern, obviously, that particularly with rectal surgery combined with liver surgery, more so than colon surgery, that there's an increased risk of perioperative complications. So there's a little literature out there about a series of simultaneous resections, and these are some of the important ones. I think, as is true of the literature across the spectrum of these diseases, the real challenge, of course, is that to enter into one of these case series, fundamentally, an experienced surgeon, usually at a higher volume center, has made the judgment that this was an appropriate patient for the simultaneous approach. And ultimately, that is what we can glean from the literature. Pablo Serrano and a resident of his and McMaster's have recently done a meta-analysis of the available studies on this specific area, rectal surgery with liver. There's just 6 studies that look at a series of patients who underwent combined resection of rectal surgery and liver mets that have any comparison arm. And then there's a number of series that just have their own short, you know, small group of patients. In this systematic review, they found that complications are the same as our mortality, margin positivity, you know, completion of chemotherapy, length of stay in the available data, are all very similar. Not a surprising result. Again, these are these carefully selected patients. I do think this is an important concept to me in making decisions about these patients. And this is from a paper that was published from Memorial, and Yuman Fong was the senior author. But they wrote, one cannot underestimate the psychological benefit of allowing a single procedure for eradication of all disease. And I find that to be really an important factor in deciding for many of these patients, especially in our practice, an increasingly young cohort of patients, where this is all quite devastating, and one operation is a positive experience for them. The third approach, of course, is the reverse, the liver-first approach. And that idea is that the advanced liver disease is the thing that kills them, right? That poses a greater risk than the primary, as we have already heard today. And the concern that if untreated, advanced liver disease in particular can become unresectable. And if you're treating an asymptomatic primary, rectal primary first, it may be delaying other elements of their treatment. So I think of this as the clear and present danger approach, right? This is a patient who has some awkwardly situated metastases, so and had a rectal primary, but this is a clear and present danger to the patient's life. And so fortunately, this patient responded to chemotherapy. But if I'm going to then potentially delay resection of these liver lesions when I have this nice window, I might be harming their long-term care. And so, but they obviously need a pretty large liver section. They need a little trim off the left lateral segment and an extended right hepatectomy. So this is a patient that we took to liver resection first. Similarly, this has a small number of manuscripts of modest series that describe this. A couple of them actually come from similar from the same centers, publishing sort of updated series. They report an overall low rate of complications, but there's a couple things that I think are important to recognize, which is that there are a handful of patients who will develop complications of their rectal primary after resection of the liver. And there's up to about a quarter of these patients will never undergo resection of the rectal primary because they will develop disease elsewhere. And so that group of patients arguably perhaps didn't clearly benefit from the resection of the metastases. So it is not a strategy that without its own potential downsides. So there are no randomized trials. These are carefully selected patients, perhaps more carefully than even other retrospective trials because this is such a complex issue. And so I think most of the data is a reflection of the experience of the and judgment that operate in surgeons. An important thing that I haven't yet mentioned is that arguably the sequencing of this does not actually impact survival. And this is one series from MD Anderson that looks at this is colon and rectal patients and shows that whether they went classic strategy or reverse strategy or simultaneous, there was not a survival difference. And this is a meta-analysis from some surgeons in Ireland, though Tim Pollock snuck his name in there. He snicks his name into some odd papers at times. that suggests that, in fact, the bulk of the data does not shows that there's not a survival difference in the sequencing as long as the patients are undergoing the appropriate therapy for the metastatic disease and the primary. I think there's some technical considerations that are not to be underestimated, and we think about these as we are evaluating these patients. Compared to the colon and the liver, the rectum and the liver can be geographically quite remote. And so depending on how you're going to approach it and how much liver surgery and what kind of rectal resection they need, you got to struggle with how you're going to access this and which of these you're going to do and frankly in which sequence. And I think there's no specific right answer, and I think that each of these has its own place. Truthfully, we make an assessment of this based on somebody's shape and their body habitus. If you have the body on the right, a xiphoid to pubis incision is a really long incision, but sometimes you have a young person who has that short body where you can actually access both through a midline incision. And so these do end up being considerations in this operation. I also think it's important to think about what kind of rectal operation. Thus far, as a liver surgeon, it's tempting to lump them together. But an APR is a long operation with a big physiologic impact potentially. So I'm hesitant, and as my partners, to do a major hepatectomy with an APR. If you generate a little ascites and it starts leaking out of the perineum, you're not really happy about it. Diversion is another thing that you mix into this assessment. If, you know, there's obviously, for the colorectal surgeons, there's these gray zones of whether or not, how low they're going and whether they should divert or not. Sometimes if you're doing a liver operation, it would nudge my partners forward into diverting where they might not otherwise. Radiation is another element that is, I think, part of the technique. traditionally, most of these patients getting rectal resections are getting traditional long course radiation, right? 5 weeks of radiation, 5 weeks off, and then an operation. Short course radiation, sort of European style, if I guess we think of it as, five fractions over 5 days and an operation a week later, is an important strategy for these patients. There had been concern it might not downstage patients, but overall the results suggest that their outcomes are very similar. There's a number of publications with randomized trials, and these are not in the setting of metastatic disease, in the setting of localized disease, but that show very similar margin negative rates and local control rates and survival. But it works a little better with chemotherapy at times and integration into liver surgery. So if you need the radiation for local control long-term reasons, then we would tend to use short course in patients with liver mets. If you still need downstaging to make a bulky tumor smaller so that it's not so darn close to the pelvic sidewalls to get that negative radial margin, our folks would still like the long course, but short course is important in this specific situation. So, cautions. Despite my giving some support for a simultaneous approach, there is such a thing as too much surgery. If you get sepsis from a colorectal anastomotic leak at the time of a small liver remnant, you are in trouble and get in trouble very fast. And that is the big thing that we all have to be careful of. In even these selected series, most series do have fewer majors via a simultaneous approach for that very reason. And after majors, there is a little trend towards higher complications, so you again have to be careful and approach these with caution. So just a couple of quick cases just to show different approaches. This is a patient with one liver met there and down in segment 6 and a pretty bulky primary tumor, right? So that's a patient who we took chemotherapy. It's a very straightforward little laparoscopic liver resection, literally should be come and go surgery, though we keep them a night, and then went on to go get traditional long course radiation for that bulky tumor and then an operation to remove that rectal primary. In contrast, this is a patient, you know, not too dissimilar, but had three liver mets, which you can see there, and a primary with pretty significant nodal disease, which you see there on the bottom right, but not quite so bulky, but still required radiation therapy. But after chemotherapy, which had all occurred before we even saw the patient at Stanford, really nice reduction in the size of both the liver lesions and that primary. And so that primary no longer was a problem in terms of the radial margin, so that patient, after that chemo, underwent short course radiation, and then we just took both the primary and those three little liver mets out laparoscopically, and that worked well. This, then, is an example of that rare patient that I think that the traditional approach probably still makes sense. It's a young woman who had a very low tumor invading the sphincter, and so she got chemotherapy. And then she got radiation, and she still was hurting. She had tumors up in segment 7 and 8 that required either a right, or in this case, she actually got a 7-8 resection because she had that extra low vein in segment 6, so she could have 5 and 6 preserved. But she had a lot of pain and needed a big liver resection and an APR, and so we separated these. And so she underwent the resection of the primary with the flap coverage of her perineum separately from her liver operation because it felt like it would be too much surgery at one instance. You know, just thinking off the top of my head, I can think of patients in the last year that have been treated with each of these in sequence at Stanford, and which tells you that, you know, I don't want to say that we're making it up as we go along, but we are customizing it quite clearly based on the principles I've told you. And each of these has its place, and I would argue again for each of these for the patients that we chose them for. And that's not even counting the minimally invasive strategies or open versions, but just the sequence of therapies. So I think that, if anything, again, the takeaway is that the multidisciplinary team has to be involved from the outset because this is so customized at present. No single strategy is been proven to be superior, and the oncologic outcomes are the same, so we have to customize it based on the volume of disease, symptoms, and the technical approaches that are required.